This is episode 3 of Studio 526M, the digitally authentic show of rants, raves, and reviews, all packed concisely for the digitally minded students, faculty, and or industry professionals around the country. I am once again your host, Professor Michael Harper, recording from my office, Studio 526M, on the beautiful Utah Valley University campus in Orem, Utah. And on this show, I thought I would cover at least two items that are very near and dear to my heart. First one is our mobilist segment, and it is on iOS 7 podcasts app. I have mixed feelings about this, especially as we've covered a lot of this and specifically the Authoring for Digital Devices class. So I got to vent. There's good about it, but we'll get to some of the positives in the segment itself. And in an in-review segment, we're going to be talking about AirPlay. I love AirPlay, and you will find out why and how I'm utilizing AirPlay. It's nothing earth-shattering. I just want to talk about it. And I think students actually are very intrigued with it, about how we're starting to use it here at Utah Valley University in the digital media program. So we're going to cover that and get kind of deep into that. And so before we do that, again, the sponsor of this episode is none other than the digital media program here at Utah Valley University, and our other sponsor that we have brought in that are really just awesome people, and that is Bluehost and the Spoke program that our students are taking advantage of to get their hosting for their portfolios. We really appreciate Bluehost working with us, and they're working with colleges around the country. They really have a great system, and so they're going to be a continuing sponsor of this, and they host the show too. So I gotta, you know, I gotta pull that in here. So let's get on with it, shall we? And for our newsstand on this episode, I thought I would talk about something that, you know, I don't have one of these. I've never owned one, but they're still relevant maybe in the mobile device space. That is BlackBerry. I mean, what is up with BlackBerry? Is BlackBerry still a contender in the mobile space? I mean, many believe that they still are. But man, after this week, some may wonder, well, what happened? CEO Thorsten Hines steps off the cliff. And a new interim CEO, John Chen, takes the reins, possibly on destination to a desert island. I really don't know what's going to happen with BlackBerry. They were so huge. They were the leaders out there. Once iPhone hit, and definitely the last year with Android, they have turned up the heat. Can BlackBerry actually make it? What's more, the beleaguered OS is set for another upgrade here soon to 10.2.1. Will it be enough to keep people there on the platform? We have new Z series phones that are hitting the market with certain vendors. You know, the Z10 looks like a great phone. The hardware has always been excellent with BlackBerry, but man, they missed the boat. The question is it enough? Well, you know, there has been talk of a sell-off, so it's hard to see BlackBerry making a comeback if that's really the talk. Now, the new CEO has said no way, but boy, I tell you what, they have made a play to have somebody buy them up. You know, take Microsoft. They bought Nokia mobile device division. Who's going to take that third spot? Is it going to be Windows Phone that reigns supreme in that third position, or is BlackBerry going to retain it and put the heat on, Apple and Android over the next year? Time will tell. Well, it's time for our mobilist segment, where we're going to be talking about iOS 7 podcast app. But first, I'm going to have me a Rolo chocolate. Somebody posted out, someone put all this chocolate out there. I think it was Gloria. I'm going to have me some chocolate. I love chocolate, but I don't like the podcast app that much. How's that? I better get a drink, too. I tell you what, the iOS podcast app, it's new and updated, nice and shiny with a flat design in iOS 7. But I tell you, for all intents and purposes, it's kind of a meh event. You know, some of the improvements are apparent, but a lot of them are just stinkers too. Firstly, let's talk about some of the, it's much more stable. It's very much on the faster side, and that has a lot to do with the fact that it went to a flat design. Gone are the animated tape reels, which I didn't mind so much. I mean, it was fun. But the skeuomorphism is gone that we saw with iOS 6, and we can get to what I feel is a much more serious app. I always felt like the podcast app was just kind of hokey. Its functionality wasn't absolutely great. It did a good job. Eventually, they added in stations and things like that, and they're still there. But, you know, some of the usability characteristics, the UX design is lacking. I should say that as we've gone through various classes where we're using these different apps, one of the problems that I feel that's there is that the audio books, when you're using it inside of the music app and the podcast app, there are differences, certain differences between them, and there are similarities. But it's almost like two different groups developed these apps, and there was no communication between the two. And even then, there's also differences between placement of certain functionalities on the iPad and the iPhone iteration. So what gives, Apple? I mean, you got to stay consistent. And one of the big problems that I find with Apple is they are not consistent between iPhone and iPad and even iTunes. They move things around. No one's communicating. And it just feels like a very broken experience as I go between these three different environments. That should not be. It just absolutely should not be. I am glad the skeuomorphism is gone. I really do like the iOS 7 interface. I've really grown to like it. I love the fact that it's just much cleaner. You know, one of the things that's been, at least on my mind, is the fact that the iTunes summary information, I depend a lot on it. And so when you tap on, and if you haven't already done that, when you tap on the graphic file, such as Newsstand, and you tap on it, then up slides up the summary information. And I have usually put this summary information in lyrics just in case. And also, of course, I have it in the RSS feed. One of the issues is that they've taken it out, they've put it back in, they take it out between iOS 4, iOS 5, iOS 6. And it's like, come on, guys. Consistency, and pay attention to the people who are using your product. Apple, I would say, is still the best out there, but they've been making kind of dumb mistakes like that. It does function quite nicely in this new iteration of the app, and it's full screen, takes up where the pod cover is, it takes up that, and the formatting is actually very well done, as long as your code's properly formatted, and it works great. The other option I have that I don't like as much is chapters. This is an enhanced episode format, and the podcast takes advantage of that. And I wanted that for the show because as it's coming through the feed into the podcast app, whether it's iTunes or on iOS, I want to make sure that those chapters are available. But they did something stupid again. They just put chapter one. Now, when I was using GarageBand, and I still am using GarageBand 6.0.5. I'm using that because the new GarageBand took out the ability to do the podcasting. Again, Apple, what are you thinking? You didn't even tell us that you were going to be doing this. And we should have a heads up. So I got to use the old version of GarageBand. And it's not that I have to use it, but I like using it because it's simple. At least for this show, I've been using it. Other shows, I haven't. I can now go back to something like Podcast Maker or something like that in order to add the enhanced features. After this thing dies, whenever it's going to die. But if I put in the chapter titles, please give me the chapter titles in here. My students are following the standards that I've put down in terms of character count for chapters, as well as for titles and descriptions and iTunes summary and so on and so forth. They'll more than fit on here because the limitations are fine. On the phone, it'll die. Because it will be truncated, but you know, again, we have to satisfy us. We can't depend on our titles fitting into that small resolution screen. So why not have the titles? That just kind of really bugs me. At least they kept in the links that now, you know, obviously function. So if I have a web link, I can utilize that and go into the inline browser and bring up, for example, if I have advertising or so on and so forth. And I'm going to be adding that later on to the show. I just haven't done that yet because I got some things graphically that I need to adjust. But anyway, that will come in line later on as I get more episodes. But at least that's not busted. The one thing that I found that was interesting, that was an issue, at least functionality-wise, chapters is available on the top of the podcast app. And then you can also get it on the bottom when you're in the phone. That to me is, again, inconsistent. They should have kept the speed, the chapters, and the sleep timer at the top in the phone iteration so that I'm not looking around for things. It should be a seamless process, at least on the iOS side. And we'll get into iTunes 11 later in a different segment later on. But the bottom line is that the podcast app is good, but it's just still not totally there yet. Some of the other issues that I still have with it is that when I select a podcast show and I touch on the cover and up pops up the graphic file and I can go and edit my settings, then I get all the different episodes. They still have the circle eye here, but when you touch that circle eye, it is so small. You get the description, and the way I have it set up, I have the description and everything directly in the iTunes summary tag. It's just this small little scrollable area that I think it is really poorly designed compared to when you're actually in the episode and you bring that whole screen is basically utilized to give that information. This is just not, it's not done well. They could easily do it a different way. And it's the same thing inside of iTunes. There's some problems there as well, but this implementation just isn't as classy as it could be. I'm glad it's there because in previous iterations of the app, it wasn't always there and it was a problem. But gosh, you know, we can do a better job than this, Apple. So there's my two cents on that. Looking at other things, most of the options are all still there, and it is a good app. And like I said, it's much faster and it does a great job. The My Stations is enhanced and that functions really well. Going into the Chop Charts as well as Featured works splendidly. And so overall, I'm happy with what they've done, but we're just not quite there yet. They could take an extra 20% effort and really polish this thing off and make it what it should be. And so we'll really have to see what they end up doing, in future adjustments. And hopefully they will listen to consumers and to the developers specifically. They really need to listen to us about what's working for us and what's not. And again, I'm really quite disappointed in Apple with what they did with GarageBand, because so many that are out there doing shows and specifically distributing their shows via podcast feed depend on GarageBand because it's a great application. It wasn't perfect. It had its flaws, but it was a great application. It still is. But to take it out of the new version, that really beefed a lot of people. And so you got to pay attention, Apple, to developers. And it would be really nice if Apple would set up some type of a feedback loop to where we could give more, our information to them instead of taking roundabout ways in order to do that. I actually have a couple people inside that I can send some notes, but overall I've encouraged my students to give feedback to developers, and that's just something that we need to do. It should be in our habitual way of doing things when we're developing media. So I welcome people to try this out and see what works for you guys. I'm going to probably go through and do a complete rewrite of an old article that I had for, I guess, it was probably version iOS 5. I can't remember. Anyway, I'll take it out and I'll redo it to the newest version and diagram out what's wrong, what needs to be fixed, and the solutions that I feel that need to be in there to make it the best podcasting app out there. And we'll have to see. And on Termology, let's once again consult, yes, the Black Book, and let's see what we have here today. Oh, yes, one of my favorites, scriping. Well, if you haven't figured it out now, in that short amount of time, the combination of scroll and swipe. We combine the two to form a new word, and what does it mean? Well, simply put, there are people out there that say that users no longer scroll on tablets or phone devices with touch capabilities. They instead must swipe to navigate. Well, we find that kind of ludicrous, in at least in its statement. Others on the other side have slammed that idea, and we do too. In class, we came up with this word, and we thought, hey, this is pretty good. The reason why is because if you think about it, you do scroll on a device. Whether you're swiping it or not, let's take a browser, for example. Even if you are swiping up and down, you're still scrolling through content. It's the action and it's the result. So, you know, this whole idea can make all parties happy. We still scroll and we swipe a lot because it's gesture-based. So DGM decided that we just come up with a new term, and it's Scripe. We have a lot of fun with it in our classes. We joke about it. Nonetheless, it does work. And so there you go. Gesture heaven. Scriping. And on our in-review segment, we're going to be talking about AirPlay. So the question comes up, what's it like to have a wireless video and audio connection in the classroom that's wireless? Well, I tell you what, it's awesome. AirPlay has been out for a little while, not extremely long, but it's their way of making sure that we can connect wirelessly to do a lot of different things. It first started on our iPads, once we had new MacBook Pros, for example, and I'm using a Retina in class, we can then take out our video, full 1080p, and basically screencast it up onto a nice projector up in the interactive advanced digital media classroom that we have, CS604. We've got a 18-foot screen and a nice HD projector, and it's awesome. I mean, I get full resolution out of that, and it just functions flawlessly. I don't have to connect. Even though we have all the DVI and HDMI connectors there that's being routed in through the whole system, we have three projectors in that room. The bottom line is I can walk in and I can just project directly onto the screen wirelessly from my MacBook Pro. It's flawless. The other side of the coin is if I need to switch rapidly from my screen and not have to use the app Reflect, which sometimes I do because I want to have both on the same screen, or with the new Mavericks, I can actually share out to three different screens and put two or three devices up on those back screens that we have and keep that front one for other development purposes. But if I want to quickly share something in full screen mode from my iPad, or even if I had my iPhone, but in most cases I'm using the iPad, I can quickly just take control of it, tell it to go to AirPlay, and swap it with my laptop. And it goes up on the screen in its full glory, just like that. I mean, it's quick, fast, and easy. As a matter of fact, let me give you a scenario. We were in class, this was last spring semester, and it was in our Immersive Authoring 2 class, and we were going over InDesign and our MagPlus digital magazine development. And one of the first things that I had them do was to go through a bunch of the different magazine apps that were on the market, and they weren't just done by MagPlus. They were done with either Digital Publishing Suite, or they could have been done with Aquafadas or MagPlus, just to name those. And they had to go through and find flaws in the navigation schemas and just look at problems all around, as well as good things, too. I wanted them to find both the good and the bad. What was neat is I had five different groups, and I had started by using an example that I had on my iPad, and then I asked each group to go around and to share their screen and have a spokesperson for that group and talk about what they had found. And what was really cool is I said, okay, group number one, go. They knew what they needed to do. They projected it up there, replaced mine with theirs, and went through and just demonstrated the book right there and talked about each of the problems that they were finding, as well as some of the good points that they really liked. And then once they were done, I said, okay, group two, go. Group three, go. Group four, go. Group five, go. And it was just in sequence, and it was absolutely flawless with these groups just bouncing up their content up there and talking. And as a matter of fact, after group five got done, group one said, hey, wait a minute, we found another problem. And I said, okay, put it up. They went right to it, replaced group five screen with theirs. Instantaneously, it's up there and they're talking about their stuff. And when they're done, I replaced it with mine and we went on. It was seamless. And that's one of the beauties with AirPlay. Now, there are other things that are out there like DNLA. And we mentioned on episode one the Chromecast and how they're utilizing their own technologies in order to cast up this these video elements or music, you know, wirelessly up to a device. But AirPlay is just really, it's easy to use and it works. And I really got to hand it to Apple because my ability as a teacher is enhanced tenfold with the ability to just take care of business wirelessly with all my different devices. Now, the one thing I would really love to see is to be able to have AirPlay technology on an Android device and a Windows device, because then I could just use my Apple TV, which is also in that room, of course. I got to have that. And I could then just project all of these different devices up onto that screen without having to try and figure out what am I going to plug into. Now, I can take an HDMI connection with, let's say it's like the Surface or with a Nexus 7. I can plug that into our HDMI plug there and just quickly switch that over. But it's just not as seamless as taking care of it with AirPlay. Now, I doubt that that will ever happen. I seriously doubt that will ever happen. However, it would be really cool. And so I just really think that AirPlay technology has a wonderful place in the classroom. And if you think about the home, I'm looking at some equipment to replace some older equipment in my home. I've been looking at, for example, Marantz, and they've got one of their receivers is the 1604 model, and it has AirPlay built directly into it. And I've got the connections for the iPod, you know, in the front with USB and all these other things, but it has built-in AirPlay functionality. And I can see myself using that specifically in a variety of ways. Of course, I'll have an Apple TV. I do have one, and I can plug it into that. But it provides a lot of flexibility, a lot of flexibility. So a lot of the home entertainment manufacturers are building in AirPlay functionality. And they have the DNLA as well. But it's not as functional, and it's getting better in its various iterations. And I think probably in the next year or two, we will see those technologies really coming up to speed and being very seamless and mature. But AirPlay is mature right out of the socket. And so, you know, to kind of finish this off, AirPlay really has the ability to fully engage my students in class discussions and demonstrations, and they can do the same thing. It makes it fast. It makes it easy. It makes it affordable too. $99 for an Apple TV to get that functionality. That's nothing. That is so cheap. And we're looking at putting Apple TVs in all of our different classrooms. We haven't been able to do that because some things that were going on campus, but we're helping the campus to lead the way. Digital media will be basically piloting that program, and hopefully when it gets down to business and nursing and, you know, science and things like that, we will have been able to tread through any of the bugs and getting it into the entire campus system. But it is a fantastic technology. So it's simple, it's effective, it's a joy to use. AirPlay. Apple, you nailed it. Well, that does it for this episode, episode number 3 of Studio 526M. Once again, I am your host, Professor Michael Harper from the Digital Media Program at Utah Valley University. And again, our sponsor is the Digital Media Program, of course, and Bluehost and the Spoke Program. Please check it out. Go to bluehost.com/spoke or up. And for students who are looking for a great deal on some space to get their portfolios up, you cannot beat their deal. Great company, and they are the host for Studio 526M. I'll catch you later.